Today we are talking about a series of development projects in the city of Eau Claire that promise to reshape the city's downtown. There's a lot of hype and a lot to talk about, so we'll jump right into the discussion with our guests this hour on the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and joining me for the hour's discussion is a cavalcade of forces from the city of Eau Claire. First, we've got Mike Schatz. He is the Economic Development Administrator for the city of Eau Claire. Mike, welcome to the program. Good to have you back.
Thanks for having us.
Good. And we've also got Ned Noel. He is Associate City Planner for the city of Eau Claire. Ned, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Good to have you. And we've also got Ben Richgruber, Executive Director of the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ben. And Zach Halmstead. He is the founder of Jamf Software, headquartered in downtown Eau Claire. Zach, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Rich. Thanks.
Listeners, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to be part of the program as well. Give us a call at 800-228-5615. Let us know what you think about all the buzz about downtown and the development projects. Specifically today, we'll talk about a public market. We'll talk about the latest on the Oxbow Hotel, former Green Tree site downtown, the Lismore, and of course, no show is complete without talking about the Confluence Project. If you've got questions, comments, if you're excited, let us know, 800-228-5615. So, with that, I'd like to start with Ned Noel, and anyone else can jump in, of course, talk about the public market idea. We're in the studying phase, as far as I know right now. It's nothing is concrete yet, but what is the public market concept for the city?
Right. Yeah, I can speak to this project. Yeah, this is kind of one of those next big ideas. You know, can Eau Claire, the community around Eau Claire, support something like this? So the idea is just to study it, just to see if there's a supply, a demand out there to be able to pull something together like this. And we're looking at someplace in downtown, so we're studying different sites. But the type of facility would be a year-round public market. So to take what we have at the downtown farmers market, the seasonal market, and take it to the next level for a year-round facility, since you know we have cold winters, and look at different offerings from not only you know traditional kind of local foods like vegetables and such, but meats and cheeses and bakery items, even possibly crafts. So currently, we're looking at you know what kind of the supply would be out there, working with vendors, potentially interested businesses, but then also the demand. And so we've launched a survey to engage the public to see if they'd actually shop at something like this, if they want to be there, you know, at a cultural amenity such as a public market. So we've gotten good responses. About 3,000 folks have already taken the survey. And we just want to get more people to give the input to make sure that this facility, if it's meant to be, represents our area.
And this survey is still taking questions or from people, correct, or responses?
Right, yeah. The survey is open until April 17th, so you know a few more days left to gather that input.
Sure, and I put a link on the West Side Facebook page if anyone's listening and close to a computer, get on there and check it out. So what kind of examples can someone look to near us? Is there something like this in the Twin Cities? I know Milwaukee's got a public market, correct?
Yeah, you know, every public market really shows kind of the local scene. And so, you know, downtown Milwaukee is the third ward. That's where theirs is located, very urban. A lot of different kind of food vendors. I mean, you can get hamburgers there, cooking classes, mm-hmm. a seafood restaurant, you know, wine and cheeses, bakery, chocolates, those kind of things you'll find there. Public meeting spaces also. But, you know, the facility in Minneapolis is the Midtown Global Exchange, and that represents a lot more ethnic type cuisines, Ethiopian mm-hmm. to Mediterranean, a wide variety. So that's really reflective of their cultures that reside actually within that particular neighborhood. So you know, for Eau Claire, obviously we want to have it reflect our local region, our food, our culture. So that's part of the study, is to try to figure out kind of what's the branding image of this. If this facility is meant to be, how would it invoke Eau Claire and celebrate Eau Claire so that visitors could come and learn about the community too?
Maybe you could have like a hot dish booth or something like that. Yeah. I'm joking. So what kind of questions, what kind of things do you want to find out from the people that take the survey? What are they up against if they decide to click through and check it out.
Right, yeah. The survey takes about 10 minutes, and it just asks them a lot of questions about, you know, where do they typically shop for fresh food, you know, in the grocery stores. That's where the bulk of people are going to be buying their produce and other foods. But we know that there is a small segment that would shop at these kind of facilities like they do at the downtown market. So it begins asking those questions about where they shop already and what they like about it, if it's good quality, good prices, good service and such, then moves into their experience at the downtown market, because that's probably the closest that one would kind of understand what a public market would be. Mm-hmm. Ask them if they attend there very often, what they like to buy, why they like it, you know, the atmosphere, the people, the food, meeting the farmers and such. And then moving them into thinking about a year-round facility, that next level per se, and asking them what they'd like to see in there, why they would shop there. What kind of vendors that they might like to see, those kind of questions. So that's basically what they would encounter on a survey.
Where did this idea come from? And I'm speaking with Ned Noel. He's the associate city planner for the city of Eau Claire. Listeners, call in at 800-228-5615 with your thoughts about a year-round public market. Do you think Eau Claire can sustain such a thing? Let us know, 800-228-5615.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the genesis of this project, you know, we see it's embedded in the strong local food movement, mm-hmm. and what's transpired at downtown with the farmers market and the success of that, and how it's really become, you know, one of the heart, if you will, the heart of the city, where people can come together no matter what backgrounds and meet and greet and eat. So, you know, building on that success, trying to see if, you know, not only from the cultural point of view, a year-round facility, but also can we look at this as some sort of business generator, too, for local entrepreneurs taking, you know, say, their produce that they farm and then making salsas or teas, you know, various kind of ingenious, kind of innovative type projects. And so this whole angle is also looking at how the city can help create the framework and atmosphere for new business opportunities. And so you see this actually in other public markets, that there's a component, maybe it's a commercial kitchen or space that you can actually bake and produce and then sell direct to visitors. So, you know, those are some of the reasons why we were able to set ourselves up for this public market study. And then also we've got a strong interest from the health sector, looking at, you know, how we can try to increase healthy, fresh foods to the available public. Definitely, you know, trying to understand, you know, that food access is an important issue, especially downtown. And so whether it's a grocery store in the future or a public market that could help meet that need too. So trying to meet that need by, you know, this type of facility. And so the healthcare, Mayo Clinic Health Systems here in town, and also Marshfield Clinic, and then also Group Health Cooperative of Eau Claire, all three of those entities have actually donated money to help fund the study. Hmm. So that's a really important feature that they believe in this as well and are looking at it from that point of view.
You mentioned access to food, and I believe I read somewhere that this, one of the sites, at least the West Bank site, which is the Cannery District, would be located in a food desert. We have food deserts in Eau Claire, correct?
It's kind of an interesting name that the USDA uses for that, but it's really low income, low access, and so less vehicle ownership within about a mile of a traditional full fledged grocery store. That's what a food desert is, and
sure.
So you know, all in downtown is actually a food desert. So not only in the West Bank, West Riverside neighborhood, but also the core of downtown that we think of when of downtown's in a food desert. So there's definitely a need, a market opportunity to meet that sort of fresh food, healthy fresh food access in the core.
Sure. 800-228-5615. We're talking about downtown development right now. We're speaking about the public market option that's being considered by members of the city council. Also, there's a ongoing public survey where you can put your 2 cents in. And if you want to check that out, go to the Westside Facebook page. If you've got a question, 800-228-5615. Right now we're talking with Ned Noel. He's the associate city planner. Coming up, we'll hear from Mike Schatz, Zach Halmstead, and Ben Richgruber. So, a downtown market of sorts. Maybe this is totally different, but there was an attempt to put a grocery store of sorts in downtown, the Charlie's Market, whereas now the I believe the post office is there. That didn't fly very well. So doesn't the city look to examples like that as maybe a tale of caution? And so why push ahead when, you know, an actual supermarket didn't make it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think, you know, that's a private sector decision there that they chose to locate there. And the city actually provided some incentives for that to happen. You know, for whatever reasons, it didn't come to be. It wasn't able to sustain itself. Mike Schatz might have more insight on that. But, you know, public market is a different animal, so to speak. It's a public – it may be owned by a private company or a nonprofit. But, you know, it's really looking to be – a place that the common person can come to, mm-hmm. and feel like it's a social space, much like what you see at the downtown farmers market, that's very open access, hence the word public. And so it's going to have a different feel if it's meant to be in Eau Claire. And that's part of the draw and the appeal of a public market, is that it's an atmospheric kind of thing that you can meet your friends, you can meet new people, you can be seen, you can celebrate, you know, the community together. Mm-hmm. Besides just, you know, buying food or products. So that's the angle that's different when it comes to what maybe a private sector might be able to furnish.
Sure, not so much a cookie cutter as where a supermarket might be very similar, no matter where it's located. And I'm wondering from a business perspective, and Zach Halmstead, I'll go to you. Does when people are looking to relocate to a city, does something like the public market, is that a something that people look for in a place when they're looking for a job, or are they just following, you know, the money? I guess
I definitely think we're past the point where people are just following the money for a job. They're really looking for a total package of a culture they live in a community. So you look at something like a public market, that's not the only piece they're looking for, obviously, but it's one of many possible things that would draw people to a culture of a community.
Mm-hmm. And how do you – all these projects that we're going to be speaking about, the goal is to make it feel Eau Claire. How do you make a public market feel Eau Claire? And then Noel or Mike Schatz? They're looking at each other. Here we go.
Well, you know, part of this study is going to look at merchandising principles and how do we actually, you know, convey that sense of place. And obviously, depending on where it's located, has a big part of it. So, you know, if the West Bank is the area, you know, Chippewa River, of course, the downtown is very unique in itself. You know, it's not your typical kind of urban strip center feel. It's got a lot of character. And so right there just demonstrates, you know, who we are as Eau Claire. But then just inside the facility too, whether it's just how the vendor spaces are set up, whether it's wood beams or something that invokes our lumbering history days, those sort of things, or just even our agricultural scenery, our gentle rolling hills. You know, maybe there's a mural inside the building. Who knows? But these are things that we can definitely kind of give the Eau Claire stamp of approval on it.
Now, the study itself is being funded in part by a grant. I believe it was $100,000 from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So, I mean, who's doing the study, and what is the grant actually paying for? Is it all going to this firm that was hired to conduct the research?
Right. So USDA gave us $25,000, the city, that is.
Oh.
And then the health sponsors that I mentioned, they gave the other $75,000 to the private sector. And the bulk of that is actually going to this national consultant out of Portland, Maine, who specializes in this. There's only a couple in the country. And so we're very fortunate to have Mr. Ted Spitzer on board to really help us to understand what it's going to take for Eau Claire and if it's meant to be too, and he'll give us straight answers if it's not. So if it's not, you know, we have some other courses of action to pursue too, to think about where the opportunities lie. So the funding will go towards his services and also an architect that was hired through that he works with. And he's one of the foremost architects on public markets in the nation, helping to design Grand Central Station's Public Market and other real well-known facilities in the nation. So we're very fortunate to have their services. But then also the money can go to looking at other public markets when we go to tour these facilities, whether it's in Grand Rapids. That's one of the facilities we have our eyes on. Hmm. And then just doing things like the work for the survey and meeting with all the vendors and stakeholders too. So it does take a large amount of cash to be able to investigate this question.
Mike Schatz, I want to bring you into the discussion here. The city of Eau Claire, I mean, the examples that we gave for public markets, Milwaukee, much bigger. Minneapolis, of course, much bigger by many times. So without, you know, looking at the results of the survey, do we know whether or not Eau Claire could sustain something like this, like a public market year-round, indoor?
Well, that, of course, is one of the things we need to find out from the surveys and by having a consultant who's studied many, many cities over the years. We are a university town. Mm-hmm. As Zach was saying, there's some cultural things you want to have in your town that make you unique. This could be one of those that we have to take a good look at. There is a growing preference in our city and many cities for local foods, healthy foods, things that a public indoor market might be able to enhance in our area. Mm-hmm. There's growing support for community gardens, having the natural resources of food in our general, you know, Chippewa Valley area is superb. We're seeing a lot of young growers out there that are getting into it and supplying produce and other types of food. So as this movement continues to grow, and I think it will because people want to have healthier options to eat and more of a sense of local, I think it's our job to analyze this and take a look at it to see if it can happen. There's no guarantee that we'll come out with the answer that, yes, it's a for sure. But as Ned was saying, sometimes when you do studies like this, other opportunities that you weren't aware of to begin with might present itself. And some of the things we've been finding is our access to entrepreneurs that are in some way related to food. And so maybe we can help them. And finding more people who are starting businesses that need kitchen space. And mm-hmm. so, you know, a community kitchen may make sense. One of the things that our consultant tells us is that every community is different. So what one public market might look like in one community may be entirely different in another. So getting back to your question about Eau Claire and how do we make this Eau Claire, that'll all come out in this study. And if it is a go, you know, it'll be because of what is going on in Eau Claire and what our strengths are and what we have.
And if it's not, Ned mentioned that there are other options. Can you spell those out for us yet or just – theoretical options if the public market is not the way to go?
Yeah, I mean, there's different hybrid solutions. You know, in Fort Collins, Colorado, for example, this hasn't come to be yet, but it was found that a public market could not work in that community for a lack of supply issue. And so what they propose, our consultant who worked out there then, few years ago, was to do a hybrid solution where you had a food cooperative actually manage a new building. They would move into that, and then they would manage a few vendors. Mm. And so there's hybrid solutions. Other opportunities would be, you know, like Mike referenced, a commercial kitchen where you could have, these entrepreneurs, you know, kind of test and develop because they need these type of kitchen facilities to mass produce. Share that space on a low rent and be able to possibly sell direct then to. Other ideas could be a cafeteria type style, which would source food direct, kind of aggregate local food and then source it and prepare it and then more almost like a restaurant sort of concept. Mm. So there's a lot of different ways to spin this. Also just with the synergy of a public market and gathering people, there's a lot of other private sector opportunities, whether it's a wellness clinic or a yoga space, an office, meeting rental space, all sorts of things like that could be envisioned in this. So we're very open-minded to what this could be. And we also are very sensitive to the fact we don't want to hurt the downtown market, the seasonal asset that we
right.
do have. So
right.
how can we strike a good balance between the two so that they interplay and work and strengthen each other if it's meant to be for a public market?
We've got our first caller of the morning. We're going to go to Augusta. Dave is on the air. Dave, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Rich. You know, I always like to put my two cents in about things going downtown. And I'm like I normally do, I always refer to something that happens and that's been built or that is in Madison, Wisconsin. And that's this place that started out as a small grocery store. It's called the Willie Street Co-op. And that has now expanded into two different parts of the city, east and west side. Willie Street Co-op is a customer-owned food co-op, as well as showcasing area arts and crafts. They have an outdoor farmer's market, I believe, a couple times, at least once a week. In spite of having the Midwest's largest farmer's market, the Dane County, the Madison Farmer's Market, which is only a few blocks away, both seem to be surviving very well. I think that's a better choice, is to have something like that in downtown Madison, in downtown Eau Claire. Locally grown foods, vegetables and things like that. It seems to be doing very well in Madison. I know Madison's a little bit larger than Eau Claire, but I think if you look at the history of that, it survived very well. And that's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Dave. Ned Noel, thoughts on Dave's analysis of the Willie Street Co-op situation?
Yeah, that's very successful. And that, you know, something like that could be the recommendation in the end of this study, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Madison has also been pursuing for the last 10 years a public market. So, you know, they have a strong local food movement down there too. And the city there has already pitched money towards that project. But yeah, again, like we said, we're very open-minded in terms of how this study is going to evolve. And by the end of around September, we'll have a completed report.
All right. With that, let's take our first break. We're going to transition. When we get back, we're going to talk about some of the local hotel redevelopments happening downtown. It's all about downtown development here in the city of Eau Claire. If you've got a question or a comment, let us know, 800-228-5615. You can also post on the Westside Facebook page, and while you're there, click on the link to take a survey about the public market downtown. Let them know what you think. This is the Westside. We'll be back in just a bit.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Able Energy, offering residential and commercial solar options throughout Wisconsin, dedicated to providing affordable solar energy solutions. More information is at weknowsolar.com. Support also comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, offering resources dedicated to helping families get healthy and stay healthy. Local wellness opportunities are on the classes and events page at mayoclinichealthsystem.org.
I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening to the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio, 88.3 and 88.7 FM. We're talking about bunch of development projects happening downtown in Eau Claire. We just talked about a theoretical public indoor market, and there's a survey going on right now for people to offer their thoughts on it. You can check that link out at the Westside Facebook page. Now we're going to transition to two hotel development projects that were announced shortly after the Confluence effort really ramped up. First, we're going to talk about the Oxbow Hotel. In November, it was announced that a $500,000 grant from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and the city of Eau Claire also chipped in, I think, $250,000 to help restore the Green Tree Inn and Suites, which has now been renamed as the Oxbow Hotel. So, Ben Richgruber, we've also got Ben Richgruber for everyone that doesn't know, is the executive director of the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center. We've also got Zach Halmstead on the program, founder of Jamp Software, headquartered in downtown. The both of them are involved in the in the Oxbow Hotel. We'll get to the Lismore in just a bit. We've also got Mike Schatz of the City of Eau Claire and Ned Noel of the City of Eau Claire. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 800-228-5615. What kind of a shot in the arm was the grant, you know, from the state and also the loan from the city? It worked out to about $750,000. And how, what has it helped accomplish with regards to the transformation of the Oxbow?
Well, it made the project possible. When we started, we had a budget of about $2 million. And once we got in there, and we were hoping that we could reuse different plumbing and electrical systems, and we just couldn't. So the budget really started to jump up. And without the grant from the WEDC and the help from our friends at the city, the project probably wouldn't have happened.
And I was going to say, you know, when it was first announced, there was a lot of excitement about this boutique hotel, and it seemed like just there wasn't a lot happening, from the outside at least. Maybe there was some gutting of the building on the inside, but this is because you, contractors found out that it was in a lot worse shape than you thought?
Yeah, we got inside. So there was quite a bit happening inside, like you say. There was a lot of demolition, so we could really just crank through it and see what was going on inside of there. And then we, you know, kept looking at plans and budgets, and that's when things did hit a bit of a slowdown. We had to figure out how to address that gap, and that's when we went to the state and the city.
And there was a funding gap. That was Nick Meyer was quoted in saying that this grant, you know, it's more of the same of what you're saying, that there just wasn't enough private capital to cover it?
Yep. We were close, but when everything changed with the budget, it became very necessary to go after this grant, and we were very fortunate to get it. And we really couldn't have gotten it without the city. We had to show local support for the project as well as other private support. So everybody came together, and we were able to put in a strong application, and fortunately the state decided we were a worthy project.
And so the grant, I mean, it doesn't have to be paid back. I mean, what are the conditions of the grant? Just use it, spruce up downtown, et cetera?
Yes. We have to create jobs. We've got to increase the value of the property. It really has – they focus on downtown redevelopment, and we have to make a strong impact. And we've proven that we can do that with this project.
All right. Zach Halmstead, I want to get some comment from you on what it's like to, you know, redevelop old buildings in general. It sounds fun.
Yeah, there are some parts of it that are very fun and some parts of it that are very frustrating. Just like we found out at the Oxbow, the old Ramada that's the Lismore now, we found lots of different things that we never expected. It was a building that was built over 40 years ago with almost no maintenance done to it over time.
Right.
So every single piece of the hotel, from the mechanical equipment to every surface that you see in the hotel, was replaced.
Yeah, that's
inside and outside.
Incredible. So... what is there an opening date for the Oxbow Hotel?
Yeah, we're aiming for late July for the Oxbow.
Late July.
Yes.
Oh, that's just prior to the idea is to have rooms available before the Eau Claire Music Fest, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is mid-August, and we'll be open by then.
Can people reserve rooms yet? Or
not quite yet. We're putting everything together on that management and operations side, so reservations will be live in the coming weeks here.
This is described as a boutique hotel in this with an Eau Claire identity. What does that mean, Eau Claire identity?
Everything about the Oxbow tells the story of Eau Claire. We're really using local products as we build the place. A lot of our furniture is being built from the Urban Wood Renewal Program. So the city takes down old trees, and we've got a woodworker that's taking that and converting that all into furniture for us, the desks, the nightstands, the beds. So the furniture will be built from here. We've got local artists creating pieces for us for all around the building. Local fabric artist is making all the drapery and soft goods. We've got some other furniture in the restaurant area that's being constructed locally. So we're really trying to tie all of that together. So when people come to town, they learn a little bit about Eau Claire too. We've got some recreation components. There'll be river adventures and bicycle rentals that you can have with tubing and kayaks and whatnot. So we want to show people that we have some great recreational opportunities around the community here. And then, of course, the music. We're going to have a music venue in there, and that will feature some local jazz, both local performers as well as university students, and then other tours that are coming through. We want to have some pretty special nights there.
Music sounds like it's really a theme. Is the one record player in every room?
Yes, we'll have record players in the room, and you can check out some vinyl at the front desk. And if you like what you hear, it's going to be a lot of local musicians. Right. There are albums that are in there. If you like what you hear, you can take that with you.
Sounds like a really cool place. I'm wondering, this idea, this concept sounds very metropolitan. And again, I don't know if I'm just a naysayer or if I'm devil's advocate or what, but is this city big enough to justify such a specialized hotel?
You bet. Yeah, they're clamoring for it. As soon as we announced it, people were different travelers, different businesses that want to show off something special and unique. So often you go to a hotel, and what makes some hotels great is that they are predictable. If you travel across the country and you check into a Holiday Inn, you know what you're going to get at a Holiday Inn. Some travelers want something different. They want to explore the community they're in. They don't want to be in that same box. So we're going to give them that opportunity to learn about the community that they're in. And of course, downtown itself is short on lodging. When the Lismore is done and when the Oxbow is done, we're still going to have some demand. That won't fill the need completely. The meeting space over at the Lismore is huge. So we're going to be partnering on a lot of different things, and it's something that the community needs, downtown lodging, and then the travelers want it as well. So it hits an important niche.
800-228-5615. Right now we're talking a little bit about the Oxbow Hotel, former site of the Green Tree Inn and Suites in downtown Eau Claire. 800-228-5615. We'd love to hear from you if you're tuning in and you're a visitor to the city. Would you consider spending a night in a hotel room, a boutique hotel room, complete with a record player and just all kinds of local flair? 800-228-5615. Is the success of the Oxbow tied to the Confluence? How much of a influence was the Confluence Project, all of the momentum on that front, in deciding to purchase this hotel and renovate it?
Oh, it definitely played a big role. A major project like that, you're bringing more people downtown, more excitement. Just the entire area is really taking off, and we wanted to be a part of that.
Very succinct. 800-228-5615. Let's take our final break. We've got about 20 minutes left on the west side. We've still got a lot to talk about. I'm joined by Ben Richgruber, Executive Director of the Eau Claire Regional Arts Council. Zach Halmstead is with us as well. He's founder of Jamf Software, headquartered in downtown. Ned Noel is Associate City Planner of the City of Eau Claire, and Mike Schatz is Economic Development Administrator of the City of Eau Claire. We'll be back in just a bit.
Hi, this is Mike Crane, Director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our mission is to inform, inspire, entertain, and engage you. If you can give $100 a month or more this year, please join our 9XM Leadership Circle. Your gift will provide a stable financial base for Wisconsin Public Radio and our programs, helping to fulfill our mission. To join, go to WPR.org and click Donate.
Support for WPR comes from Glassnickel Pizza, 18 years of employee and customer-inspired pizzas made from scratch at 8 Wisconsin locations, dedicated to sustainability practices and community support. GlassnickelPizza.com. Support also comes from the UW-Eau Claire Department of Music and Theater Arts, presenting Roustabout, The Great Circus Trainwreck, a new play with comedy, tragedy, and magic, through April 24th at Riverside Theater, 800-949-UWEC.
This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about Eau Claire downtown development on the West Side this hour. We're joined by Mike Schatz, Ned Noel, Zach Halmstead, and Ben Richgruber. If you're in and around the Eau Claire area, these are local celebrities here on the program. Listeners, call in at 800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. We were talking about some of the hotel developments downtown. First, we're just chatting about the Oxbow Hotel, and of course we're going to speak about the Lismore. And then we'll speak about the Confluence Project, get the latest on that in just a bit. Mike Schatz, I want to go to you now. How important is having a boutique hotel, or having both of these hotels be redeveloped downtown? They were the Ramada, at least, and I'm getting ahead of myself. At the time, it was considered an anchor for downtown. So having these things be reborn and much better than they used to be, how important is that?
Well, they're both going to be an amazing addition to downtown Eau Claire and to the community in general. Both had become in great disrepair, and were not being utilized. So the fact that we will have options for people to stay and unique options, different from each other. One will be a very high-end, you know, nice place, state-of-the-art that you can really show off your downtown. The other will have this unique, you talk about Eau Claire. Well, it will be very Eau Claire, very setting us off on what is important to us, having the music and art component to it, giving people options so that they can, if they want to experience it. I could see people who want to come in town to do some biking, staying at a unique place like that. And I know a lot of my friends that like those type of unique places when they travel. So I think having both options really plays into the favor of downtown. Having them up and running, there's the convention part of the Lismore that is great to see. That'll be bringing people in from the outside back to downtown. They'll be spending time shopping at the small stores that are downtown, going to the eateries that are there. So I'm very happy. I think it's a big component that was missing the last couple of years. So just a great addition to what's all this renaissance that's going on in our downtown.
We're going to go back to the phones now. We've got Jim in Eau Claire. Jim, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Rich. I guess what bothers me, I grew up down there, at least when I was very young. I live farther up on North Barstow Street, right across from the Walter Brewery Mansion. If you guys are from Eau Claire, you probably know what I'm talking about. And what bothers me about a lot of the downtown stuff is it seems like Madison and the river seem to really separate where everything is going on. What I mean by that is you go a block away from, you know, what the old Green Tree was, and you see houses that are falling apart and people living in poverty. You go across the river on the footbridge from Phoenix Park, and you see the same thing. You know, are we taking too good of care of downtown and honestly John Mogensen and not taking better care of the neighborhoods around them?
Interesting question. Mike Schatz, what do you say to Jim?
Well, first of all, you had to start somewhere. And so we started in the, you know, what was known as the main area of downtown along Barstow Street and such. But if you've been following what's been going on here, we got a lot of other things going in the other areas of downtown, including a neighborhood revitalization task force that's going on right now, where we've been bringing in a lot of experts from other communities and talking about how we are going to bring up and revitalize those neighborhoods that adjoin downtown. One of the cool parts of revitalizing downtown is that you have that density of neighborhoods surrounding it. And part of this culture and part of this preference of people to bike and walk is playing right into downtown favor. So these neighborhoods could come in and take part of that. Prior to our efforts downtown, pretty much the only people that lived down there were low-income options. Now we're giving it an option that all levels of income can live downtown. So it's not just for the, you know, the low income. So we want to make sure that we also have opportunities for low income too. We don't want everybody moving out. So some of the projects that we look at might have mixed use buildings that have housing above it. And, you know, the housing might be one floor might be market rates, one floor might be Section 8 or for low income. So I think you can get that mix so that everybody has the opportunities to live downtown if they want to, no matter how much money they make.
But at this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be very wrong, obviously, but a lot of the apartments that are springing up around, or all of the apartments around Phoenix Park, I mean, those are pricey. I think $800 plus a month for an apartment, and that doesn't seem like it's something that anyone, not everyone, can afford.
Well, that is true. But before, there was no option for people to live downtown that wanted to have that type of of apartment. So it's cool that now people, you know, making more money can find a place that's an option for them. But I think if you look at most downtowns throughout the nation, and you know, this whole renaissance is going on all over, your highest rates for apartments per square foot are going to be your downtown options in any community. Mm-hmm. And the reason behind that are all the amenities that are downtown, all those options of recreation, bike trails, eateries, the nighttime nightlife, riverfront views. Those are things that people's preferences and trends are they want. And so we're finding a way to meet the market demands.
With that, I'd like to switch gears a little bit, but if anyone's got questions about either the public market or the Green Tree or just downtown development in general, please give us a call, 800-228-5615. We've got a couple people dialing in right now, still have open phone lines. I want to talk about the Lismore. Definitely, there's been a lot going on downtown at the former Ramada Inn Convention Center. It's transforming. It's transformed, as far as I'm concerned, into the Lismore. The outside of the building, very modern, looks sleek. I was in there for a Hillary Clinton campaign rally that was held in the lower convention center, I believe. But so, Zach Helmstead, when is the Lismore going to start taking reservations? I mean, the opening date for that has got to be pretty soon.
It is pretty soon. We don't have the exact date nailed down yet, but we hope to have that this week sometime. And our expectation is that we'll be opening sometime at the end of this month or very early in May.
Okay. So what still needs to be done? I mean, is it just finishing touches?
Yeah. All the final pieces are really coming together. The rooms are starting to really look like hotel rooms. You walk in and everything's there. It's a lot of finishing touches. And when you look at how many different surfaces and materials you have in there, it's absolutely incredible.
I like the artistic rendering for both this and the Oxbow Hotel. It looks really great, but I love the idea of newspaper being on at least one flat surface or one wall in the room.
Yeah. So
why is that important?
It was an artistic touch that we liked, and the Lismore name comes from our sister city in Australia, Lismore, Australia, where the ownership group from the Lismore went down last year and visited with their city council and their mayor. Had a very good time. They were very welcoming and took us to their city archives. And all of the newspaper prints that you see in the hotel rooms are actually from 1920s Lismore, Australia newspapers.
Fun. I like that. Just perusing some of the articles that were coming out shortly after the property was purchased and started being redeveloped, it was estimated at one time that it would cost around $16 million. I mean, obviously, I don't want to look at the books directly, but has that estimation crept up a bit and as you found more things to do?
It has grown. We're probably closer to 20 at this point, maybe a little over that. And part of that is, you know, the food and beverage aspect of it. We didn't have in that original budget either.
Okay.
All that equipment comes in.
You're talking about the informalist, right?
Yes, we have the informalist. We have Eau Claire Downtown Coffee, and we have a bar called Dive in the old swimming pool location.
Very cool. 800-228-5615. We've got another caller. This one coming from Colfax. Willem, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment on I've lived outside of Eau Claire for 28 years, and I'm a craftsman, I'm a potter, and I've done the downtown farmers market, and I find that these events, I think there's a lot of support for the arts as far as, you know, the opportunities to show work and things like that, but as far as a professional trying to sell your work, I must say it's been very difficult to make it worthwhile in that department. So although it's, you know, interesting and like the word cool for people to see these things, but, you know, we need we need support for actual people purchasing the work. So I wonder about that in Eau Claire, because I know that Eau Claire is for a city its size, I think it has the lowest per capita income in the state. So I'm often... in order to make a living, I have to sell my work in other places outside of this area. So
sure.
I guess that's my concern is, although I like the idea, but is the support actually there? Are people actually going to, you know, put out the money to support these things?
Sure. Thanks for the call, Willem. As far as space for vendors to sell their wares and support, Ned Noel, why don't you take a stab?
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Being my father is a potter is also. So, you know, growing up, just opening up our house to, you know, different events to sell goods. So, I understand, you know, that it is difficult. And just the purchasing power of Eau Claire is not super high. So when we think about at least the public market side of things, we want to have that as a factor in trying to keep things affordable. I always kind of think about just, you know, keeping this for the common person and being sensitive to price points. So it's hard to actually, you know, give you a direct answer at this point on that, but we're very mindful of that, you know, purchasing power in the community, but also hopefully open up new opportunities so that people would be willing to buy goods such as what you make and sell.
All right, 800-228-5615. We can probably take a couple questions very quickly with regard to the Lismore. Zach Homestead, who are you catering to with this hotel? It seems like there have been about 4,000 hotels built in and around Eau Claire in the last, you know, few months. So what crowd are you looking for? I mean, there's definitely demand for lodging downtown, but are you going beyond that in scope and who you hope to have?
What's most exciting for us is to be able to introduce people coming to Eau Claire to the downtown area. You see more and more when people are traveling that they want to be in the epicenter of the city, really experience the city, very similar to what Ben was saying. And currently, the majority of our hotels are along the highway corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to give people a chance to come to Eau Claire to experience everything, as Mike was saying, the downtown shops, the downtown eateries. And that's actually been a big part for us, that while we do have a restaurant, we want to be helping people go out and find the other restaurants downtown.
Sure. And as far as convention space, I'm only familiar with the one on the lower part, but that's, what, 6,000 some square feet or something like that?
Yeah, I think we have a total of about 14,000 square feet.
Oh, okay.
And then although I could be totally wrong on that.
All right. Let's talk about the Confluence. Good Lord, we're getting close to the top of the hour, and there's plenty to talk about with that. I think we're going to go to Ben Richgruber after. I mean, it's been a long ride. It's been a bit of a roller coaster at times with the referendum questions and whatnot, the state funding question. What is the latest on the Confluence project? That thing's got to be close to being shovel ready.
Yes, yes. We have, over the last year plus, we've been doing some really intensive design work. The image that obviously was originally out was a concept, sort of a massing study to see what fits. And we got all the arts groups and users and the university together and said, okay, what do we need in here? What does it need to look like? How many square feet do we need? Stage sizes, technology, et cetera. So we've been working on that. And Holzman, Moss, and Bettino is the architect.
They're based
out of New York, and they have done some of the finest art centers across the country. They're really phenomenal people. So they've taken all of our ideas and put them all together into an amazing design. So they've really been working hard on all the construction documents now. It's really, you know, getting to the details. How many doors do we have? How many linear feet of different wall surfaces, et cetera, to really zero in on both the cost and the design.
So if the if the design work, or at least the last touches on that, is still being completed, is there a planned point for a ground, or planned date for a groundbreaking, or a month, or a...
Yes, we are aiming for late summer, so it'll be August or September of this year. We'll start moving some dirt.
Before there's a groundbreaking, does there have to be, don't some buildings have to go down?
The site is cleared. It's ready to go.
The site is cleared. Okay. 800-228-5615 if you've got any last-minute questions about the Confluence project or anything else we've talked about, the Lismore, the Oxbow, or the downtown public market. How about fundraising? I was getting these press releases from the Confluence fundraising group. Big donations, you know, the $1 million match from the doctors group, $100,000 here, $150,000 here. It seemed like the $13.5 million goal, and I don't know if that's changed, was almost reached. But then nothing. I haven't seen anything from the fundraisers in my inbox. So has the goal been hit?
We're not quite there yet. There's still a ways to go. Obviously, when the state came back, we had originally requested $25 million. It came to $10 million, so we did have to adjust the fundraising goal a bit. So we're aiming for about $15.5 million. And we are pushing $13 million right now, and it's very successful. People are still signing on the line. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. And this summer, you're going to see a lot more activity from us as well.
And originally, the design was for three theaters, and of course that was scaled down. That's been a while now, but we're down to two. What are those two going to look like?
Well, we do still have three performance spaces. One of them was scaled down a bit, but it is still a studio theater space, and you can have recitals in there and other smaller performances. That'll seat 200-ish.
That's what the Black Box turned into?
Correct. And then what we did is we sort of merged the midsize with the Black Box concept. So we've got a Black Box theater that can seat about 400 people. It's a very flexible space. You can do a lot of different things in there. A really fun community gathering space. And I think the local theater groups have really started enjoying the possibility possibilities when they look at what can be done in there. And then the large hall seats 1,200, and we're also going to be able to remove some seats to have standing room, and that'll get us up to 1,500, which is an excellent number as well for some of those concerts. But again, when the seats are out, it could be you could put tables in there and do cabaret seating. So really some special event type things could happen in the large hall as well.
A real multi-use facility is the idea. Now I'm wondering, as director of the Eau Claire Arts Center, how does that work, booking guests for the state? I mean, is there a cutoff point where you say, no, we're going to start booking for the other facility?
Yes. Confluence hopes to open in the fall of 2018. So we've got another season and a half over at the State Theater, or two seasons here. And we're going to program those right up to the end. That spring of 18 will be happening at the State Theater. And we'll also be working on booking things for the Confluence. Those contracts will start happening in the next year here. So we can have a really exciting grand opening celebration there, and everything is lined up. So we'll have a nice, clean transition.
Can you almost taste it? I mean, it's been so long. It's right around the corner.
Very exciting. Yeah. It's been a long and winding road, but you know, we talk about it, and honestly, even with some of the challenges, we wouldn't change a thing. We've learned so much about the project and the community. It's all been for the good.
Mike Schatz, you've got the Confluence, you've got the Lismore, you've got the Oxbow, you've got the potential for a public market. There's probably a million other things that I haven't mentioned. What is happening with downtown Eau Claire? Is this some kind of Phoenix from the ashes situation?
We are very poised for greatness here. It's just special to see all the things that are happening. As most people know, getting people to your community, keeping talented people from the university, bringing more in, is very competitive. People can live wherever they want to now. So having a community that has all the assets that we've been talking about today and has a community that could come together in these private-public partnerships is superb. I'm so proud to be sitting here with these gentlemen in this room now, knowing, you know, they're putting their money at risk. They're working with the city and coming up and helping with our goals, too. Having these partnerships has been wonderful. And all the assets now that we're going to have in our community are just going to, you know, sell ourselves to people all around. And we'll bring more people in here that'll have the incomes to buy the arts and crafts and go to the music festivals and everything. So the arrow's pointing up for Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley, and I'm glad to be part of it.
And Zach Homestead, you're a native of Eau Claire, correct?
I am.
So what do you think? I mean, in a nutshell, we've got like 30 seconds. Do you have a newfound pride for your city, or has it always been there and it's just reaching its potential?
I've always had pride for it, for sure, but it's one of these spots where we have this great culmination of the private and public sectors working together to make Eau Claire better than it's ever been.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I was joined this hour by Mike Schatz, Ned Noel, Zach Homestead, and Ben Richgruber. Excellent discussion. A lot happening in downtown Eau Claire. I'm sure there's a lot happening in downtowns all throughout our listening area. Many thanks to Team Westside, including Debbie Brown, Mort Cypress, Henry Lipple, Dean Collenbeck. The list goes on. Next week, we're going to talk about birds. Migration is upon us. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a good week.